Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weekly Conservative Talk Radio. My name is Tracy.
And I'm just plain Bill.
And we're here for another week of filibusters and antis, and let's see what else we can scream into and put into
well,
all
and witchcraft and all that good stuff.
Yeah. You know, for most people that don't know, that haven't been around for a long time, the The original way that we did this radio show was Bill and I would sit and discuss what we were going to have as topics, and then before the show started, a little bit of show prep. We got into such great conversation that attempts to recreate the conversation for the show usually sounded contrived and silly and, you know, just really made up a lot, you know, like we were reading from a really badly written script. So we stopped doing the show prep so that we could just have this general conversation. And both Bill and I have been known to show up a little bit close on time. And I was hoping we're actually going to be like a minute late so I could say, in an unusual turn of events, Tracy's here, Bill's not.
Yeah, right.
But I couldn't go very far today. The car broke down last night.
Oh, man.
But without car... which has created all kinds of interesting, you know, things going on. CJ had to catch a ride to go to school today with a friend, but she had to get up and leave here at 5:15 this morning to do it.
Oh, my God!
So that wasn't a whole lot of fun.
No,
and then
it wasn't.
We couldn't get to Victoria's dialysis last night, which, you know, given the fact that it's Monday, means the last one was done on Friday, that's a pretty long period of time to be without.
Yep.
Talking to doctors and nurses last night, we started the peritoneal dialysis that we had been planning on starting at the end of this week. Got a chance to start it 4 days ahead of time. It's been interesting.
Yep.
We also got our bill for the first month of Victoria's dialysis. Thank you for socialized medicine in California. It only costs $36,000.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep, yep.
So I was thinking, if Victoria, based on Obamacare, wanted to have an insurance policy that covered dialysis, it would cost about $36,000 a month.
Yeah, right, exactly. Jesus.
Because, of course, there's no risk involved with an insurance policy in that regard.
Of course.
So, and dialysis, once started, unless you get the kidney transplant, is forever.
Yes, it is.
I got into a big fight with people today online about Obamacare and healthcare again.
Again.
While while I was getting into fights about don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah.
Now, you and I differ about don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah, some.
The, I am pretty much for the elimination of don't ask, don't tell. One, gays openly serve in the military now in large numbers across the branches, although I don't know specifically about the Marine Corps. I do know so in the Navy, Air Force, and Army because we've got friends and family that serve in those branches. My own experiences gays served openly in the military while I was serving. That was back in the 70s and early 80s.
The only quibble I've got is openly.
The gays that were in my squad and the gays that were on my base, everybody knew.
Well, there's a difference between no.
Whether the brass knew or not.
What's that?
Whether the brass knew or not, I can't tell you. But I can tell you absolutely that the people in the barracks absolutely knew.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a matter of, now, were they walking down hand in hand, on base? No. Okay? To the sense that we knew that they were gay and they, acknowledged that they were gay, that's about as far as that went. They kept the relationships off base, didn't bring them on base, and, that worked. But you got to understand...
Which is just a different restatement of don't ask, don't tell.
No, you can get an Article 15 for fraternizing right now.
Yep, absolutely. That's the other thing people don't really understand. Don't ask, don't tell applies to everybody.
Well, yeah, don't ask and tell, don't tell that you're having an affair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? However, affairs are detrimental to the morale of a squad. Overt sexual behavior of any type is detrimental to a squad.
Yep.
So, and that's why fraternization and, conduct unbecoming are both Article 15, sanctions that would apply to gays equally to straights. So don't ask, don't tell would simply be eliminated, but that wouldn't change the fact that you could still get your ass kicked out for, sexual misbehavior. Sexual conduct, that disrupts the cohesiveness of the unit. It wouldn't change. The laws are already there. The rules are already there in, the Code of Military Justice. So, don't ask, don't tell right now, in my opinion, is used by gays in the military to get out of serving, to make political points.
Mm.
You eliminate that, then you eliminate, you're not going to eliminate the idea of getting out of service by screwing around. Because unfortunately you're going to deal with the punishment that's associated with that first. So my argument is don't ask, don't tell is an unnecessary rule. It gives, certain people an ability to make political statements. It gives people a shortcut way to get out of the military when they don't want to do it anymore. That was the other thing I said. I wanted to ask you, when you went in the military, at some point in some time, did you sit there and talk to yourself like, what an idiot, what the hell did you do?
Frequently.
Yeah. Pretty natural. You go in the military, at some point in the military, you're going to sit there and go, okay, moron, what have you gotten yourself into here?
Mm-hmm.
Mine happened, as it were, on the first night after basic training started, and all I could think about, it was brilliant idea, genius. This is a brilliant idea. Meanwhile, the TI at 2:30 in the morning is screaming in our faces.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been up since 4 or 5 that morning, so it's like, this is how I want to live my life.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant idea. No, everybody that joins the military, everybody that sort of questions their sanity about having done so. Some people use don't ask, don't tell as a way to coward out. So,
yeah, if the argument hinges on the military has dumb rules, that's a pretty poor argument. I mean, yes, the military has dumb rules in a lot of different areas.
And, we talked about rights today. Somebody said you have a right to serve. A right
really?
To serve?
Excuse me?
I think you have an obligation. I think you have you take upon yourself an obligation.
Yeah.
But I don't think you have a serve.
No. I mean, there's all kinds of classes of people that are not eligible to serve. One of them being fitness, another one being age. There's all kinds of classifications that can't serve. I mean, cannot serve, are not accepted into service.
Right. So there's no right to serve.
Nope.
But then the other side was somebody suggested that people had a right to get out of the military if don't ask, don't tell is repealed because that wasn't part of their contract when they signed up. I was sitting there going, what kind of crap is that? There's nowhere in your oath that says, I will serve and protect the Constitution as long as I don't have to do it with gays around. There's no clause in there that section 27 of paragraph 14 on page 12 of your contract with the military, you won't have to worry about serving with gays. Come on! This is stupidness. Okay, now, let's actually talk about some of the things. Apparently, the Republicans filibustered today.
Yes. Yep.
I have one question. Last I heard, correct me if I'm wrong, they have 43 votes, right?
Yep.
Well, do they have 43 votes, or do they got...
No. Actually, they don't have 43 votes. They have 41 votes.
They have 41 votes.
Yes.
So they could filibuster as long as Snow, Collins...
Yeah, Voinovich.
All stayed on the reservation.
Lindsey Graham, yep.
I think it's bullshit. Both sides do this. They attach amendments to defense bills because they want you either pass this onerous piece of legislation that's on the defense bill, or they can hold you up as being anti-troop.
Anti-military, anti-defense of freedom, anti-this and anti-that. Yes, indeed.
Republicans
and shame on them for doing that.
Republicans did it to Democrats, too.
Absolutely.
So,
yep.
And somebody tried to say that this is new, filibustering the defense bill. And I'm like, I really don't think so. So, the other thing that was on that bill, wasn't the DREAM Act on that bill also?
Yep. Two things. Don't ask, don't tell, and the DREAM Act. I mean, there were some other things, but they were, like, minor and consequential, don't mean anything. But those were the two things.
Personally, myself, I think the Republicans would have been smarter, focusing on the DREAM Act.
Well, I don't know that they didn't.
Nothing that I saw said that they did.
Well, except that you got to, where I didn't see any tweets from any of the GOP leadership that indicated that they were against one more than the other. And by the way, isn't that an interesting juxtaposition for somebody like McCain? McCain says, I think we ought to keep don't ask, don't tell, but he's in favor of legalization of illegals.
Right.
So he had a choice there.
That's why I'm absolutely convinced that come January, people think that even if Republicans get 51 votes, which I think is possible, I really do think it's possible.
It's possible, yes.
Worst case scenario, and I'm considering this to be worst case scenario, not they get 50.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah,
and that means Biden's the next 2 years in the Senate.
Yes. Yep.
Which would be really detrimental to most comedians' careers.
No. It would be an absolute career enhancer for a comedian. I mean, can you see Joe Biden being there every day opening his mouth?
Well, he's actually not supposed to open his mouth except for to, you know, keep order.
I see. And you think that's going to stop him?
Well, no.
Yeah, well.
let's just say that any attempts by the Obama administration to keep Biden under wraps would seriously be in jeopardy going forward if we win 50 votes. But
yeah.
My point is, having won 50 votes,
mm-hmm.
Or even 51 votes, I think there's a significant portion of the Republicans, Brown, Snow, Collins,
mm-hmm.
Others that are, hold on a second.
Well, there was open speculation about, gosh, when does Susan Collins pull a Specter?
I'm sorry, say that again.
There was open speculation on Twitter and on some blogs as to when Susan Collins would pull an Arlen Specter and jump parties.
Oh, she won't do it now.
Well, if
there was, if there was going to be 46 or 47 Republicans in the Senate going forward,
mm-hmm.
I think she'd change. But not if there's going to be 50 or 51.
She could cut herself a heck of a deal if she switched, if there were 50 or 51 votes.
Yeah, except for when is she up for re-election?
Two years
or 4 years from now.
It's either two or four for her. I keep getting her and Snow mixed up.
I think it's 4 years from now. I think she was up last time.
Ah, okay.
Let's think about this for a second. Could she really? I think she'd really be, throwing it in people's faces if the Republicans had 51 votes and she switched. I really think people would scream bloody murder.
Well, yeah, but she's got 4 years for at least her state to get over that. So it's kind of like, what kind of a deal can she cut? And I would suspect that would be a pretty good deal, particularly if it was a 51 thing.
I think it might add additional energy to the Tea Parties going into 2012.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. That they're not going to play any more games with 52 or 53 votes, that they're going to push. I certainly would push for 62 or 63 votes at that point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And, this entire concept of, the GOP establishment would be just cut off the knees.
Oh, yeah.
How many more GOP establishment senators, are serving in the Senate that are, political turncoats?
Name them off. There is Lindsey Graham. Would obviously be more comfortable in the Democratic Party. Susan Collins, Olympia Snow, George Voinovich. There's four.
He's gone. He's gone in November.
Yeah. Oh, is he really? Yeah, he did not run again?
He is running again, but John Kasich in Ohio is just...
Got it.
Just killing him.
Good.
No, wait a minute.
No.
I take that back.
Senator Kasich is governor.
Running for governor.
Yeah.
I'd have to talk to Tom to see what's going on in the Senate race over there.
Yep.
It would certainly be, I don't think she has to do that. I don't think any of them have to do it. I think that there's enough Republicans in the GOP and the Senate that are going to, say, okay, now that we've got 50 votes or 51 votes, we have to reach out across the aisle, and all Obama has to do is come back just a little bit, just a little bit, and, you know, they'll practically fall over themselves to do it.
I don't think he can do it. I think he is. You're right.
I mean, he doesn't have the personality to do that kind of compromising.
Nope.
And he's certainly not shown it in any political office he's ever held.
Nope.
But if somebody could talk him into doing it, you know, he cannot run. Well, maybe he could. I was going to say, he cannot run in 2012 on the "I didn't get everything I wanted to get done because the Republicans were in control." Especially when,
well,
he could
run on that, but I'm not sure how effective it would be.
You know,
I mean, that just doesn't compute. I mean, he's already spent 2 years blaming Bush. In the last 10 years, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he's going to spend another 2 years doing that? I mean, at some point in time, and I think that time has passed, people wake up and say, hey, this is yours, you own it, you need to fix it. If you can't fix it, we'll replace you. Now, will the Democrats run a centrist? Yeah, maybe.
Did you see that town hall of his yesterday?
I did not see it, but I certainly heard it alluded to.
A woman stepped up, first person on in the town hall meeting, first person stepped up, she goes, I'm tired of, you know,
yep.
making excuses for you to everybody. You know, I voted for somebody that was going to do change, and frankly, I haven't seen any.
Exactly.
Now,
yep.
You know, that's kind of startling, given the fact that Obamacare got passed.
Really?
But, of course, who was it? Who was saying it? Somebody was saying it that one of the reasons why Obamacare has not resonated with people as far as the ones that wanted it was because the benefits have been too spread out. Oh, yeah, it was Clinton.
Clinton said that. Yep. Yep, yep,
The benefits are too spread out. Duh.
Yeah, well, I think it was the only way they could get it passed, and they did that over the objections of a majority in the country. You make all kinds of arguments, and I guess from the Democrat point of view, you hope something sticks to the wall. But right now, I'm not seeing that. What I'm seeing is a whole lot of anger, frustration. If Democrats would just listen, I mean, just listen, they'd go a long way towards defusing this. But the problem is they painted themselves into a corner, and now they can't listen, or at least can't appear to listen. And they're stuck with positions that are, quite frankly, indefensible. So when you couple an inability to defend along with the still tone-deaf statements of people like Kathleen Sebelius, who said of the insurance companies raising rates now, we're keeping a list, and you may not be able to participate when we have state pools. Oh, really? I'm sorry. I mean, when did this become a dictatorship? And my answer to that is, it isn't.
Well, it became a dictatorship when they got in charge.
I guess, apparently. My biggest concern is this. If the GOP has not learned its lesson, if it goes back to the same old, man, do I see a whole lot of careers ending, a whole lot of throw every last damn one of them out. It's going to be really, really ugly. And I don't
know
if they've learned their lesson. I really don't.
Ugly's good.
Now, ugly would be good, yeah. That'd be okay. So, we'll see. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, right now, nobody knows. Everybody is saying, oh, yeah, we think that the Repubs are going to take over at least the House. Maybe they're going to take over the Senate or come really doggone close. But none of us really knows yet. What does that mean? And I think that that is not knowable until about a year into the 2011 session. Because at that point, it's going to be really apparent whether the GOP learned its lesson or not. Too bad.
Well, my opinion is that they don't. They haven't.
Well, you may be right.
I can see nothing that suggests the alternative. Nothing.
Well, you could not prove that they have seen the light or felt the heat from some of the statements that have come from Cornyn and even Boehner, or Boehner, however you say that. And those are the two voices. I mean, those are the voices that theoretically speak for the Republican Party. And you haven't heard it from any of the other top-tier unelected officials. You haven't heard it from Mike Steele. I mean, he pays lip service, but when you get right down to policy and stuff, he's AWOL. He isn't there. Cornyn certainly isn't there. Boehner, he goes back and forth from he's there one day and he's not there the next. So, there's no data points that connect up to, yeah, they learned their lesson.
Well, Murkowski was what, third in the Senate?
Oh, yeah.
So we know where she was.
Yeah, we do know where she was. And by the way, that's spelled Mehrcowski. Write that in, Alaska.
You did hear the first goof this morning, right? It was actually last night.
Which one?
With her website, her write-in website?
No. Oh, yeah, the black and white ad?
Right.
Yeah, I heard about it. Didn't see it.
Her name was spelled wrong in it.
I did see a tweet that said that the Alaskan Secretary of State is going to take a liberal view of, not liberal in terms of left-right, but liberal in terms of what's acceptable in terms of spelling.
Yeah, no.
Apparently, Alaskans don't spell well.
It's gonna. I'm encouraged by what happened today, as far as the Snow staying with the filibuster, Collins staying with the filibuster.
Yep.
But I'm also, they also made comment about the fact that there was some Democrats that went with them too, including Blanche Lincoln. I'm thinking like, yeah, she's fighting for her life
at this
point in time. She's not going to be voting with Obama on you know,
anything,
whether he's actually president or not.
Exactly.
Sense of the Senate is that Barack Obama is president.
Well,
talk about this some more.
Yeah.
Can we table this one?
Yeah, right.
You know,
exactly.
More than a few of them.
I'd like a little more debate on that question, please.
So.
Yeah, well, I it's interesting to me that no Democrat, with the exception of Wiener in New York, is running saying anything about health care. So apparently, Wiener, all by himself...
Wait a minute. There's somebody on the Democratic side that's saying, I didn't vote for that.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that they're saying I didn't vote for that. What they are saying is not saying anything about it at all. Nothing. Not in their campaign material, not in anything. So apparently, Representative Wiener, all by himself, passed that legislation in both the House and the Senate and got the president to sign it.
Man should be leading the House.
Yeah, apparently.
But that man. I mean,
that's a work ethic. Jesus.
I find, well, let's go on. Let's get away from this.
Okay.
It's done for the moment. It is my opinion that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is going to go away of the dodo. And other blue laws sometime in the next year, only because the military is going to say we have other ways of dealing with sexual misbehavior in the military already in place, including fraternization and conduct unbecoming, that we can, you know, deal with those issues that come up on a case-by-case basis. And it's a way to eliminate the political side that draws the military back out of what it's supposed to be doing and into the political realm, which I think the Joint Chiefs hate more than just about anything else.
No, they
hate political stuff.
Yes, they do, and they're forced to play it, but they don't really like it.
If they can give Gates an out, and I think they can. I think Gates can say, you know, we can get rid of this and still maintain unit cohesiveness under the argument that fraternization and conduct unbecoming can both take care of, you know, on a case-by-case basis. And they'd also be able to get rid of, you know, the political side of it by making people actually be punished for bad behavior, which is, right now, something that people that come out under Don't Ask, Don't Tell don't get. You know, they get accused, you know, they're kicked, they're out in like a heartbeat. You know, no punishment, no loss of, you know, pay, no penalty to it. So, and the opportunity to make a political statement on top of that. Get rid of it and you eliminate the ability of, you know, people to use it as a quick get out of jail card. And
well.
You get rid of it as a political football.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, you know, I think people do not pay attention to the practical aspects of it. But that's just my opinion. And I'll ask you the same question that I asked Grace Hills on Twitter today. If you say, okay, we want to get rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, then what would be the problem with unisex showers and bathrooms?
Why?
Pardon me?
Why?
Why not? I mean, I don't particularly want to shower with somebody who considers me to be an object of their affection.
So you take a situation where 1-2% of the military has to potentially deal with objects of affection that can get them busted for trying to behave it, and change it so that 99% of them are put into positions of trying to deal with people that are objects of their affection?
All I'm saying is that the situations are analogous. And I think that...
No, they're not. You're talking about...
They are absolutely analogous, and I don't think anybody has paid any attention to what are the practical problems with all that. At all. And yes, we're on the opposite sides of that issue, and that's fine. It's okay.
You know, the removal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell does not change how the military operates. It changes how some military people think.
Yeah.
You know, and frankly, you know, whether you signed a contract to serve under George Bush and now you have to serve under Barack Obama, isn't sufficient enough to create a dichotomy for people that are serving. So
now that is not analogous, but that's okay.
The you know, whereas you know, change to all unisex, that's a significant, you know, physical changing of the environment for the military. And okay, let's look at it this way. Okay. Removing Don't Ask, Don't Tell puts the military closer in consistency with society. Changing the military so that everybody has to use unisex bathrooms and showers does not. You're suggesting
if your statement was true, then every homosexual would be outed. And we know that that is not true. So don't be trying to say that one situation is different than the other based on what is a societal norm, because the evidence does not support you in terms of what is a societal norm.
Oh, I'm not talking about societal norms.
Yeah, you are. You're saying... Oh, gosh.
What is society?
I'm assuming that we're talking about American society.
You know, go ahead and yell at me semantics. And we were supposed to get off of this 10 minutes ago.
Well, then let's get off of it. What else you got?
What else have I got?
What else you got?
Let's see. What else did I have here? Obama and his... is he there?
And his lack of history knowledge?
I wonder if Bush is listening, if he tried calling in earlier.
Who knows? I don't know. You got the switchboard, lady.
I wasn't paying attention to the switchboard here.
Uh-oh. Me either.
I got...
Did you catch that in Obama's... I don't know, what, presser, town hall, whatever the heck it was, where he was talking about the history of the United States and illegal aliens and Mexico versus the United States? Where he said
that? No, I did catch the lack of creator in the Declaration of Independence, though.
Yeah. I want to believe the worst about him, but I don't know if that was a screw-up or if he truly paraphrased it or whatever. I don't know. I mean, he quoted a lot of it, so I don't know that the paraphrasing thing works up. But the thing about Mexico was that he claims that Mexicans were living here long before the United States was an idea. Now, anybody who knows their history knows that the United States of America was created in 1776, or thereabouts. What people may not realize is it wasn't until 1851 that Mexico was created. Before that, it was New Spain, and it was a colony. It was is a territory of Spain. So for him to say that there were Mexicans living here before the United States was even an idea means that he really doesn't know a whole lot about American history or history in general.
This is a surprise.
Yeah, right. I mean, how would you expect somebody from Chicago to know about all that stuff, right?
Hey.
I figured that'd get a reaction. I mean, I thought it was pretty ballsy of him to just do away with that much history and state it wrongly to begin with. But
well, it wasn't anything worse than Biden said, you know, when the crash happened, you know, Roosevelt got on the TV.
Yeah. I love that one. That was great. Oh, Lord. I mean, I am sure that people were thinking about TV then, so maybe it was true.
You know, I mean, maybe Area 51 started earlier than we thought.
Yeah, it could be. After we took it back from the Mexicans, of course.
You know, let's just look at it that way and say,
Yes, indeed. Actually, you know, we gave kind of short shrift to the creator part of the Declaration of Independence. But from the accounts that I have read, and I did not see the thing live, so I don't have any direct firsthand knowledge of this, but...
I saw the video.
Oh, did you?
And, I did.
But apparently, as he was reading from the teleprompters, there was a significant pause in the area where, endowed by their creator, should have been.
No. Not anything more than was existing in the rest of it. It's, you know, that strange cadence that he does.
Yeah.
You know, when he is knows he's going to say something that's going to be, I was going to say getting taken out of context, but that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
When he's going to say something that he knows is going to rile up the Tea Party or Republicans,
mm-hmm.
slows down, starts, you know, pausing between every other third word.
Mm.
You know, that's all it was. Nothing more than that.
Mm.
At least that's my opinion of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was it's just that strange cadence that he has.
Well, he does have a strange cadence, and it does change, absolutely. So I don't know if that's the correct explanation or if he purposely skipped over it or whatever. But there was.
I don't think it appeared in the teleprompter. I think it was deliberately omitted.
Huh. Well, then somebody, Barack Obama included, has a pretty poor grasp of our founding documents. I mean, that is a... that phrase is a quotable phrase that a whole lot of people know. So,
I'm devoting a whole chapter of it to my book.
Well, good for you. So for that to be omitted, all of his speechwriters had to be unfamiliar with the document and did not bother to Google it or anything else, and he wasn't bright enough to catch it.
No.
He had to sign off on the thing.
You know, come to think of it, you know, giving an iPod to the Queen and the Staples button to the premier of
yeah right
Russia. I've got to suggest that the level of incompetence could, in fact, rise to the point where there might be nobody in that administration that actually knows the words.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. That is absolutely true.
But I can't believe that. I really honestly can't believe that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's a foundational document, for God's sake. I mean,
the thing about it is, if I told you how much of the Declaration of Independence do you know, you're going to be able to start off with the preamble, and you're going to come to a grinding halt shortly thereafter.
Yeah. From memory, you betcha.
99% of people are going to be able to start off with that with that opening second paragraph.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just so that there's people that don't understand, that are aware that the most famous quote from the Declaration of Independence is from the second paragraph, not the first.
Not the first, yes, right.
To be clear, most people will be
able
to...
And if you don't believe that, Google it.
And Google it. So, I just find it to be impossible to believe that they're that stupid.
Well, they're either stupid or venal, and at this point, I don't really care which one it is.
I'm going to get people that when they read the book are going to suggest that I'm giving strength and power to those people, that I'm giving them an argument that they can use for a long time against it, and that would be an incorrect reading of it, for the same reason that everybody cheered that Obama went to church on Sunday. Incorrect reading of that.
Yes, indeed. And was it truly an imam that was giving the homily?
Yes, that's what I have read.
God.
The only time that Obama can go to an Episcopal church is when a Muslim is giving the homily.
There you go. Yeah, very good. Brilliant.
Then, of course, we go back to the conversation, was creator omitted, on purpose or, out of stupidity? Did anybody think that, nobody would notice?
Exactly. Exactly.
The first time that, he goes... only for the third time this year he goes to church, it's when there's a Muslim preaching.
Right.
Yeah. Just,
come on. and he just adds...
I'll make the argument that he can be a Muslim president. I will make the argument.
Oh, yeah.
I can accept a Muslim president.
I guess.
And to accept that as a... thing. I mean, there was many people that argued Kennedy couldn't become president because he'd be taking orders from the Pope.
Yep.
So I can make the argument that, a Muslim could be president. I don't particularly have a problem with a Muslim being a president.
No.
I have a particular problem with this Muslim being president, but it has nothing to do with Muslim or black, and altogether about the fact that he's an idiot.
If there were a black Muslim American conservative person, I would welcome them as a president. Really easy.
Hang on a second. What else you got on your...
Find one of them, but oh well.
What else you got on your list of things to talk about today?
Actually, two things. One we can take care of pretty quickly, which is Christine O'Donnell up there in Delaware, and I find it both amusing and disheartening that we apparently have some people in the GOP, not going to say they're conservative, but in the GOP, that think it's just absolutely wonderful that Karl Rove gets up and bashes her. And I'm saying... And then the left jumps all over this witchcraft thing. Now, folks, let me tell you. When I was in high school, I did some really dumb things. And if that's the criteria by which we judge our politicians, there isn't anybody that we think is going to be fit to hold the public office. She was in
all
high school.
I mean, that was,
she dated
that was the
guy.
One thing that I said.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
if we want perfection in politicians,
yeah.
See what we've got so far.
Yeah. Yep. It's amazing to me. The other thing that I find a whole lot more interesting, I mean, Christine O'Donnell is getting funded primarily by Tea Party type folks. She's amassed in 5 days close to $2 million in donations. In a small state like Delaware, that's a lot of money. So she's either going to convince the folks of Delaware that she ought to be their next senator, or she's not. And so, folks.
And she did the one thing that I told her to do last week.
Which was?
Do not care about national media.
Mm-hmm.
Ignore
yep.
the national media. Stay in the state.
Yep.
Stay on point. Stay talking
yep.
to the people that, you know, you're going to represent.
Yep.
And ignore the national media hype.
Yep.
And then she canceled all those Sunday programs and,
mm-hmm.
you know, did a whole bunch of in-state things on Sunday.
Yep.
Smart.
I think that she's not taking that quite to heart because I understand she was going to be on Hannity. But, oh well. Can't have everything, I suppose. Let me tell you the thing that I found most interesting.
Yes.
Apparently, both Summers, Larry Summers, and Tim Geithner are leaving the administration.
Nothing else they can do.
Well, Summers is going back to Harvard or Yale or whichever one of those East Coast prestigious universities is. Haven't heard about Geithner. He's probably going to wind up back on Wall Street. That's my guess. Nothing solid about that one, folks. That's just guess on my part.
Well, now that he is...
That was interesting.
Now that he's saved the bank's ass.
Yeah, right.
You know, have I talked on the show, or has this only been in side comments, about the Federal Reserve and the book by, I want to say it's by Hirsch. It's called Secrets of the...
I don't think you talked about it on the show.
The book is called Secrets of the Temple. It was how the Federal Reserve was formed and what its purpose is. And after everything you read about it, you can distill the purpose of the Federal Reserve that hasn't changed in 80 years, 90 years. The purpose of the Federal Reserve is to protect the banks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is
yep.
its primary goal. That is its primary purpose, is to protect the banks. It's not to print money. It doesn't do that.
Nope.
Or control the currency. It doesn't do that.
Nope, that's Treasury.
Its purpose and only function is to protect the banks.
Yep.
So you have to wonder exactly why it thinks generating $2 trillion worth of balance sheet over the last 18 months is not, quote-unquote, inflationary. Well, you can have lots of people talking about it, but the Fed doesn't think it's inflationary because inflation is the bank's worst nightmare.
Yeah. Yep.
Don't want inflation. So all this talk about Obama using the Fed and the Treasury to inflate us out of this trouble, there isn't a bank in the country that would sit still for that for a second.
Nope. Well, at least not without being able to reposition its assets first. I mean, you can make, if you're a bank, you can make money in an inflationary spiral. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I was there. I know this.
Turn everything into five-day notes.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, actually what you want to do is early on in the cycle, you want to start going out with really long CDs, and then you keep all of your note maturities short. I mean, that's the way you make money.
Right.
Because
you get rid of the repricing opportunity
on the asset side, and on the liability side, you've got the money locked in long term.
Right.
Yep.
Where you're not price sensitive.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
the thing that I
object to about the Fed is that it is secret. I mean, that's my main objection to them. Get them transparent. If that means you audit them and you do that on a continuous basis, then fine. But they ought not to be operating in secrecy.
I don't agree.
Okay.
I
love it when we don't.
I don't have any problem with them operating in secrecy because that's kind of their purpose. Hang on a second. I know we're short on time, but I got to do this.
Okay. I don't know what we're looking at, but okay. Well, I will continue on here. I mean, if you say that, gosh, they'll telegraph their moves if they are subject to transparency. The problem I have with that argument is that the transmission of moves is a good thing, not a bad thing. Markets operate on publicly available information. Some markets operate on privately held information. When that happens, when privately held information happens, then the public generally gets screwed. And so I'm saying there may be drawbacks to operating transparently, but they are less than the drawbacks of operating publicly and transparently.
Well, all right, my issue is that it's a private organization. I know it has lots of, it's lots of features of a GSE, but it's in fact a private organization, and the government can't force it to, put its deliberations out in the public.
Excuse me. They can force me to buy health insurance. They can force me to file tax returns. They can force me to buy car insurance. They can force me to pay more than I ought to have to for milk because that's under a milk order. And you're telling me that they can't get transparency out of the Fed?
They shouldn't. And they shouldn't be doing all those other things either.
Well,
doesn't mean to do something else that they shouldn't be doing.
In that case, let's get rid of all the others. But until we do, let's have the Fed operate transparently.
Well, given what's happened over the last 18 months, I think the Fed has abrogated its freedom to be an independent agency.
Well, that's true. I mean, I am not arguing here that there is no function for a central bank. That's not my argument at all. My argument is, if it's a central bank, one, it ought to operate like one, and two, it ought to be publicly available information.
I don't want it as a central bank.
Well,
I really don't.
Somebody provides that function. No national government, as large as ours is, operates without a central bank. Doesn't happen.
Yeah, but, the Fed at least can argue, and I think reasonably so, that it's a little bit more free from the political, realm than other central banks. You know what? We got 30 seconds. Do your shout-outs. We'll talk about it more.
You betcha. Okay, just me, Pammy, Louisa, Mom, Mama Gurkha, Arkansas Traveler. Oops, Arkansas Traveler isn't listening. His puppy chewed up his headphones. Anyway, thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, and we'll talk some more about the Fed and Congress is going home for the break by the end of the week, so.
Yay!
No more kicking them around.
There you go.
All right.
So, all righty. Tracy, we'll talk to you later.
The green room.
Okay. We're going to cut short tonight because I got some other things that I got to do, and I've got another radio show that I got to do, too.
Cool, cool.
I got invited on a motto talk.
What did you, you were looking for something? Right now. You want to meet up on that? Well, yeah, because, you know, we're about finishing up dinner, and I need to do another one of Victoria's dialysis, so.
Uh-huh. Got it. Okay, kiddo. Have a really good one, and we will talk to you next week.
Talk to you later, Bill. Thanks for the show. Everybody, have a good evening.
Yep. Bye-bye.